listening
to the Modern Horrors
Podcast Network. Hey there, my lovelies. Welcome to the 74th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
On today's episode, we're going to be talking about hospital horror. That's a thing, right? Hospital horror?
It is today.
Which means, that's right, you guessed it. Today's films are Nails and The Exorcist 3. Two of the most popular hospital horror films of all time. Sorry.
It's true. You may notice that, was it Halloween 2? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's missing.
What's on streaming?
It's not streaming. It's not
streaming. For you new listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so continue at your own risk. Nails is streaming on Netflix, and The Exorcist 3 is on Shudder. So feel free to check in with those movies before continuing if you are a spoiler-sensitive listener. But before we jump into these films, let's get started with a segment that we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Breaking In with a May 11th release date. It's directed by James McTeague and written by Ryan Engel. The IMDb summary is: a woman fights to protect her family during a home invasion. I wanna like this movie. I want to, because Gabrielle Union is a motherfucking treasure.
She is. I love her. Bring it on.
I fucking love her in every way possible. She's amazing. She is
amazing.
And she's amazing in this trailer.
She's a badass.
She is a badass. She's doing badass things. She looks a fucking amazing. I think she's like 90 years old and she looks like she's 20.
Babe Town.
100% exaggerating, but it's something like that. I love, love, love her. And I think she's hilarious. She's cute. She's funny. I just love, love her. But this movie looks like garbage, unfortunately.
You almost forgot about Billy Burke from Twilight fame, our favorite movie.
I didn't almost forget. I was saving it for last.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. I had no idea.
She was saving it for last. It's only Bella's dad. God.
Oh my God, Carly. The music in this trailer, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish with this. It's like,
I mean, you were singing it to me.
So
and it was great.
Yeah. I don't understand what they're trying to do with this. I mean, the song is catchy as fuck. I'm going to sing it all night. I'm just saying, I don't understand why there's this like catchy pop song when it's supposed to be like a crazy home invasion thriller type film.
Yeah, I get
you. It just takes you completely out of it. It totally makes me feel like it's a made for TV Lifetime kind of movie.
Sure.
It definitely has a feel of like Lifetime. That's the name of that network, right? I'm not making stuff up, am I?
No, you're correct.
Okay.
I feel like it is like Panic Room, but without the Panic Room.
Or any panic.
Or any panic. Because Gabrielle Union is very chill for, like, learning that her children are stuck in a house with murderers.
And the dialogue that we get, which isn't a lot, but, like, these dude bros talking to Gabrielle Union and trying to freak her out is hilarious. What did they say? They said something like, "You're just a woman by yourself. We have your children." It's like, really? Is that what we're doing?
This guy, this writer, what else has he done? Very original.
I don't know.
Oh,
I
dude.
Just, I wish that we could have this plot with like a fucking good movie behind it. And you know, maybe the trailer's just shitty. Maybe it'll be awesome, Carly.
Very possible. Very possible.
It is possible. We've seen it before. And we've seen it the reverse way.
We have.
Trailers look amazing and then they end up being shitty. So you never really know.
You don't. You just have to kind of go for it and take the chance.
Gabrielle Union is amazing, though. I want to see it just because of her. I love everything about her.
She is fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Are we done with one?
Yeah, we're done. Oh. I'm done.
That was quick. Okay.
That was quick.
Do you want me to sing some more?
Would you?
So hard. Yeah. So hard. Yeah.
Amy has taken us right into the first movie that we're going to talk about.
Between each segment.
I'm going to play that as a clip over and over again.
No, I'm just going to sing it. No clips. Just me singing. You're welcome.
Thank you. So the first movie that we are going to talk about today is 2017's Nails.
You're welcome.
Yikes. Directed by Dennis Bartok. This is his first full-length feature, and written by Tom Abrams and Dennis Bartok. The IMDb summary is, paralyzed after a terrible accident, Dana struggles to regain her life and family when she encounters a malevolent ghost in her hospital room.
Yikes. So, I picked this movie on purpose, knowing it wasn't going to be good.
Sure.
Look good.
No.
Everyone on the Modern Horror Slack channel was telling me how terrible it was. And I want to say like the first 10 minutes, I was like, maybe it won't be that bad because the beginning's not that bad.
No, it's not. And I was like, is that chick from Descent and Descent 2? Yes, it is, folks.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Although she looks more like Sissy Spacek in this film, I thought.
Totally does.
There were several times I looked at her and I was like, she looks like a young Sissy Spacek. Yeah. I don't know. This is just a really bad movie, though. It's weird because it starts off fine and then it gets so terrible. Progressively terrible.
I mean, it gets really, really terrible.
It gets really terrible. I don't understand this hospital. This hospital makes no sense. I know that this is supposed to take place in Ireland, right? This is an Irish film.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is how hospitals are in Ireland? Question mark? I don't know. It's like the most run-down, abandoned-looking hospital I think I've ever seen in my life. And they keep saying, like, I'm sorry we have to keep you here because our insurance is so terrible that you have to stay in this terrible hospital. It's the only one we can afford. But it's also like there's no one there. And there's multiple times when the hospital director is like, there's so many patients here. And it's like, really?
Yeah, and that one guy is like, I'm overworked.
Yeah.
He's the only Trevor.
Yeah. You can just walk into random rooms and there's no one in there all the time. Just like empty room after empty room. But there's so many patients, apparently. I think all the patients are ghosts. Maybe that's the problem. Carly, did you love this film?
It was probably one of my most favorite movies.
It was very boring.
It was really boring, and I literally, it would go from 0 to 60 where, like, she would be fine, and then she'd be like, nails! And I was, like, so taken aback that, like, she was, I don't know, it was just awful. It was really bad.
So
it wasn't, like, enjoyable bad, like Descent 2.
No, it was.
It was just, like, I could have spent an hour and a half of my life doing something totally different.
It's like a really boring movie with a bunch of jump scares, and the jump scares are so cheap, and I was getting really mad at them. Just like, that's all there was. There wasn't any like actual scary things. It was like all jump scares, which was a bummer. A total bummer. A super bummer, if you will. Okay. We have Dana. Dana got hit by a car when she was jogging and it was a hit and run. The car hit her and left, and she has a breathing tube in her throat, and she was knocked unconscious, and she's all, like, her face is all messed up. She can't walk, I think. they didn't quite, I mean, for so much talking, they don't really explain what's wrong with her.
Yeah, like, why? I don't,
she can't get up. She can't get up or something, but she doesn't have any kind of casts on her legs.
Right.
So I don't know if it's like a spinal injury.
That's kind of what I thought, because she like literally had no movement in her legs.
Because they kind of just flop her around.
Yeah.
When they need to like check her.
And she's got bed sores, so she obviously can't feel her legs, right?
Yeah, but she can sit up just fine. Like, I just don't understand why they don't ever put her in a wheelchair and let her like kind of mosey around the hospital a little bit.
They can't afford it.
And she's so afraid of this room. She's so very afraid of this room. And they refuse to move her. I don't understand why they're so insistent on keeping her in this specific room, especially since we know there's so many other empty rooms. There's no TV. Like, just give the bitch a TV. She'll be fine.
She'll be fine.
Who's going to sit in her husband?
Her husband's an asshole.
He sucks. He never comes and visits her. And when he does, he talks about this other woman. Okay, cool. Thanks, dude. I don't know. There's just, it's just not very, it's not a very good movie.
Literally, there's almost, like, all the characters are super one-dimensional and don't really make sense in and of themselves.
No, the interaction makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
There's
like,
Trevor.
Like, the daughter is very, like, a throwaway character. Like, everybody's just a throwaway character. Nobody matters in this movie.
It's interesting you said that, because I felt like Gemma, who is Dana's daughter, was the best character, because she at least gave a shit about things.
And but like, did she, like, she was so...
She was very
whatever
blah.
About so many things, including this, like, younger woman that's just, like, her dad's basically just having an affair with and is just always there taking
was her
care
dad
of her.
Actually, I mean, they made it feel like he was actually having an affair at the end, but, like... Nails the ghost can show you that your husband's having an affair. How the fuck does Nails the ghost know that your husband's having an affair? How is that? How is he able to videotape that and put it on your computer screen?
He's magic, apparently.
And then you believe Nails the ghost and that you didn't hallucinate that. And the ghost videotaped your husband having an affair and then showed you. So he could scare you more.
Pick up on that before, though?
We have yet another ghost with a video camera. I'm tired of the video camera ghost thing. Can we stop it, please? No.
They mess with those magnetic trails.
I don't understand how any of that works. And then we have Trevor, who is the sole nurse, the only nurse in this entire hospital. He works day and night shifts. He is there at all times.
He lives there, basically.
He lives there. And there's a time he's not friendly. He's not helpful, really. He's very, like, brutal to Dana. He, like, straps her down and, like, I don't know. He's not a very, like, pleasant person. And there's...
I don't know. I thought they had a good rapport.
Did they?
Yeah.
Really?
I thought so.
How? There was nothing that was happening.
He was like the only one that
them.
Was like listening to her. Even when he was like worried, he was still like trying to play along. And I feel like the only reason why he strapped her down is because he thought that she was the one that scratched herself. And she literally started freaking out for no reason.
I felt like he was being like really weird to her the whole movie. I never saw any kind of rapport between them. And there was a point when she was like, Trevor's my only friend or something like that. He's the only one I can trust. And I was like, really? He's like strapping you down and treating you like shit.
No, that makes like that part made sense to me. I thought that they did have a good rapport.
Maybe I missed a conversation or something because every time they were talking, I was like, I don't understand this relationship.
I mean, it definitely kind of starts in the middle of it, I feel like. Like, it already felt like they had some sort of rapport when she would, like, ask him about things. And he was, like, understanding and, like, closing the door and, like, putting the wheelchair in front of it. But then, like, also getting frustrated. I don't know. Like, their relationship made sense to me. I didn't think it was weird.
I did. I thought all the relationships in this movie were weird. None of them felt tangible authentic. To me yeah. or possible in any way. Let's talk about Nails the ghost, because I don't understand this ghost. I don't understand him. He was a mental patient at this hospital.
And then they decided to hire him and let him around children.
Yeah, they as he got older, he was very troubled, and he would like scratch himself up, and so they had to cut his nails all the time. And then then he wanted to be hired by the hospital, so they hired him and let him take care of children alone, this mental patient. And he was killing the children, but it was supposed to be like a mercy killing, like he thought he was setting them free or something.
Which makes sense that he's aggressively trying to murder this person.
Yeah. And tell her that she's going to die and purposefully scare her at all times.
And purposefully take her and smash her onto the ceiling and then throw her on the floor at the end. What? This movie makes no sense.
And Nails the ghost looks... I don't really get it.
He looks like a CGI The Gentleman without the, like,
yeah, but what's
mouth.
With his mouth? Like, I don't understand what's going on with his mouth and jaw. It's like a weird line across his mouth.
I don't know. It's weird, and it's like, unnecessary CGI, I feel
it's
like.
It's very CGI. Everything, like, all the cuts that he makes on her are, like, ridiculous looking. It's...
Well, it makes no sense.
None of it makes any sense. He's gonna kill her, and you're gonna die in here, and that's not something a ghost that's killing people to set them free. I mean, and also, why is he called Nails? He's called Nails because they cut his nails, and then he cut the little kid's nails before he killed them. That's not even, like, a creepy thing. Like, you know what's creepy about nails is when you grow them long and then slash people with them. And there's a little bit of that, but I don't understand why his nails are long, because he was always very into cutting his nails.
Because nothing in this movie makes any sense.
I mean, it's a bad idea. All of it's a bad idea. It's just bad. It's just all bad.
100% bad. Don't watch this.
Yeah, I did skip this one. Skip this one for sure. It's pretty horrible. Oh, and then there's this scene, my favorite scene. Trevor is in the, what I could only imagine is a basement, maybe? I don't know. It's somewhere where he has an office. And I think it's wallpaper, but it really just looks like there was blood dripping down the walls. I don't understand the design of this wallpaper. It's a very weird looking wallpaper. And he kicks a hole in the wall, I don't know, like a while earlier in the movie. And then he's sitting down at his computer. And the computer screen turns on by itself or something. And then he can see nails start to break through the wall behind him. And when he turns around, no one's there. But he can see himself in real time. And he can see someone breaking in the wall behind you. Carly, how long do you sit in front of a computer screen like that while that's happening?
0.5 seconds.
Okay. How long does Trevor sit there while that's happening?
3 minutes.
Until he dies.
Until he dies.
He waits.
Until he is no more.
He doesn't even look scared. He just sits there and watches it all happening and just lets nails kill him. Like, doesn't even try to get away. Like, not. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. You're watching yourself on a computer screen in real time. There's a monster behind you, and you're just fine with it. You're just going to sit there and watch it like it's a movie, and you're not involved at all. I hate it. I hate it. It sucks.
It was so bad.
It's really very bad, Carly.
So bad. Don't watch this movie. I'm sorry if you watched it for this show.
I'm not that sorry. I told you it was going to be bad. If you watched,
I mean,
it,
how do you not, like, did you see the still that they chose on Netflix? Like, how do you not automatically know that this movie is going to be terrible?
It looks pretty goddamn awful. Yeah. So we're good. We're good. We're good with that. It, the ending's bad. Just the beginning's bad. The whole middle part is very bad also. Just really no redeeming qualities here.
Zero. Zero good things.
No gore. No good gore. No good deaths. No good deaths. No good scares. It's just a lot of jump scares. CGI jump scares. Lots of them. Mostly that. So you're good.
And none of them got me either.
There was a couple times I jumped, but I'm a jumpy kind of person.
You do love the jump scares.
I don't love jump scares. I get scared by jump scares. I don't like being startled. There's a lot of that happening here because they're cheap. You don't even see it coming. It's just out of nowhere, which is fine. But if it's like a scary thing, like I giggle and I enjoy it. But when it's stupid, I just get mad. So this one just made me mad.
Yeah, this one just got her angry.
This one just made me angry. All right, let's move on.
Well, let's not waste any more time on this film.
So hard. Yeah. Okay. That was my segue into our next film. Which is The Exorcist 3 from 1990, directed by William Peter Blatty. And written by William Peter Blatty, based on the novel by, you guessed it, William Peter Blatty.
Same guy.
Is it Blady? I don't know if it's Blady or Blatty. I'm saying Blatty. Deal with
it. I like
it.
Blatty.
Thanks. I like it too. William Peter Blatty also wrote The Exorcist and The Exorcist The Beginning, or Exorcist The Beginning, rather. The IMDb summary is, a police lieutenant uncovers more than he bargained for as his investigation of a series of murders, which have all been the I hate this summary. I hate it so much. I practiced reading it and I still can't do it. It's like terribly written. A police lieutenant uncovers more than he bargained for as his investigation of a series of murders, which have all the hallmarks of a deceased Gemini serial killer, leads him to question the patients of a psychiatric ward. Who wrote that? Why would you write it like that? Put a period in there.
They knew that we were going to do this, so, and they wanted to hear you stumble.
It's not hard to make me stumble, let's be honest. I do it basically every week. I know that I'm not great at reading things out loud in one shot. It just rarely works for me. All right. Anyway, Carly, Exorcist 3. You finally got to watch it.
So into this movie.
It's so good, right?
I loved it.
Did you have any idea? Much. Did you have any idea how amazing Exorcist 3 could be?
No, especially because it's just called Exorcist 3. It's not even anything fun and catchy. I never saw Exorcist 2 either, though.
Well, William Peter Blatty had nothing to do with Exorcist 2.
Well, then I don't want any part of it.
Exorcist 2 is not good. The Heretic, not something that people enjoy. It's not a good film. This film, however, is fantastic. And
I liked this better than the original.
That is, like, a lot of people say that. I don't think I can say that.
I do. I was like, I loved all the interactions of the characters. Don't get me wrong. Like, I really like the original. But I feel like I've seen it quite a few times over the past, like, year and a half. And, like, there's always a part in the middle that's kind of a little slow. And this isn't, like, a fast-paced movie by any means either. But, like, I'm always interested in, like, the weird dialogue that's happening.
You know what's funny is I wrote in my notes a couple times, especially between George C. Scott and the priest character. Mm-hmm. Their rapport is really, like, fast-paced, catchy, silly kind of chatter back and forth, and it was very Gilmore Girls to me. Like, I wrote that in my notes. I'm like, they have a very Gilmore Girls, like, way of talking to each other, and I absolutely love it.
I love that, because it's like, it really felt like a real, like, old man relationship, where, like, one of them's kind of grumpy, one of them's just whatever, and then they have this, like, little banter back and forth, and it's just, like, really fun and endearing.
I really want to watch this movie with subtitles, though. I was having a hard time because Shudder doesn't have subtitles for this film. They are starting to be better about having subtitles over at Cheddar, but this film didn't have subtitles. And to be honest, I really need them, especially in older movies where people talk fast. Like, I'm not catching everything. There's no way that I'm absorbing what you're saying. And there's several times in the beginning of this film, especially in the beginning of the film, where I really wanted to be reading what was being said. Also during the monologues, I feel like I wasn't catching everything being said and like the significance behind all the dialogue. So I really want to rewatch this with subtitles sometime. There was like a lot of weird, humor at the beginning, like some like Pocahontas humor and some like weird Jewish humor and some weird like Italian humor. I just really was not understanding at all.
I don't know, like the Pocahontas thing I get just because like whenever I would wear my hair like in braids when I was little, like my grandma would always say that to me.
Yeah.
So like I don't
it's like, an old timey thing. But yeah, it's 1990. Like, it's not like I mean, granted, it's even in the 90s, it was still
like my grandma probably out throughout my high school years would say that to me whenever I wore braids. So like, I don't know. And it was the grandma that said it to the daughter. So I got
it's 100% realistic. I'm not debating that it's not, but there's a lot of that. And it's all in the beginning in like the first 10 minutes almost. It just struck me as strange because it does not move throughout the film. Does this take place in New York? It does, right? The original takes place in New York, so this must take place in New York. So I guess, I mean, Italian jokes and Jewish jokes, and I guess that all happens when you're all shoved together in one city, right? I don't know.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. But, I mean, beyond that, there's a lot of dialogue. This is a very dialogue-heavy film. So, like, not having subtitles, I think it suffers a little bit for me because I feel like I'm not capturing everything. And the dialogue is really good. And what I am absorbing is, like, very honest, the way people talk, feels familiar type dialogue. I like all the characters. I like their interactions. The acting is really good.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no, I love George C. Scott. I'm a huge fan. Brad Dourif.
He was amazing.
He's fucking phenomenal in this.
He was amazing.
He is absolutely amazing. In case you don't know Brad Dourif, I mean, Brad Dourif is like the voice of Chucky. You know, he's a couple other, I don't know, familiar characters, but he's not known for being this. I don't feel like he's known for being such a fantastic actor. He is fucking killing it in this role.
He slayed this. Yeah.
He gave me shivers a couple times. His monologues were like intense and you could feel it. He was really acting his ass off. I really appreciated him in this role. I love the tie-in and how this is, we have some familiar characters with a brand new story. I love this as a sequel and I love how it intertwines with the original without really having anything to do with it.
Yeah.
It's a very different kind of story. It's got mystery. It's got like this, like crime, heavy crime overhang, like a story. And then there's this supernatural element that just kind of pulls you in. It's really well done. It's a really underappreciated movie. I know in the horror community, we all understand and know that this is a fantastic film, but I don't know that everyone recognizes how awesome this movie really is. It really is fantastic.
It's so good. And it's even, what was interesting to me, there was a lot of things like about the murder setups and all of that kind of stuff, which is very reminiscent to like films and TV shows nowadays. Like the weird setups kind of reminded me of like something you would see in the, like, the show Hannibal, or even like True Detective, like with the, like, chopping off of fingers and hands and putting statue heads on, like everything.
Or even
was just
like Seven, you know?
Yeah.
It has a very heavy Seven kind of vibe. Cause it is that kind of movie, and there's so many horrific murders, but you see none of it. You see absolutely none of it. And it, you feel like you see it. You feel like you see all of it. You feel like it's a very gory movie. There's really only one scene that's gory at the very end. And it's not even that gory in comparison, but you feel like you see all these things because the murders they're describing are horrific.
They're
really,
very,
really vividly explained.
Yes.
But you don't see any of it. And it's like some of the worst things you could imagine. So it really hits you. It really affects you emotionally, but you don't get the visuals along with it. And it's really something special to be able to do that.
Yeah. He's a phenomenal writer.
I will say that I think this film suffers slightly, because it's a little too grand for one 2-hour length film. I think the story, there was a lot, it seemed like there was a lot they didn't want to cut out story wise, which is understandable because everything in this film is pretty exciting and fun to watch. But it's a little too much to sit through for me. There's a lot of talking, and I wonder if a mini series maybe, or yeah, I think a mini series would have almost been better because you could have, it wouldn't have felt so rushed at some parts. There were some characters that were thrown in at the end, like Father Mourning, who was added towards the end of the film because it was called Exorcist 3. They insisted on keeping the title Exorcist 3, but there was no exorcism. So they added Father Mourning so there could be an exorcist scene. I don't understand that character and why he's involved. He randomly shows up. No idea how he got there. There's just little things that don't really make sense. The end feels very rushed to me. When you're kind of taking your time during the film to explain things, I would have liked to have more time, even, to absorb everything happening. So, someone remake this as a miniseries, please. You don't agree, Carly?
I didn't mind it. I liked, I didn't mind the pacing of it.
You don't agree that there's just sections that just like happen and are kind of unexplained? I mean, they could have spent more time with quite a few of these scenes. And, I don't know.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. I can definitely see what you're saying, but I don't think that I would want the story to be broken up either.
I mean, a miniseries isn't really breaking it up. It's just giving it more time, I guess. I don't know.
I get what you're saying. I do.
I just feel like the end is rushed. I feel like they take a lot of time to explain all these things, and then it's just, I don't know.
It's like we gotta get rid of this guy.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, I don't know. A lot of it was so well thought out that, like, when it wasn't that way, it really stuck out to me. So, I don't know. Maybe it's not a time issue. Maybe it's just an adding things at the last moment type issue, which it very well might be. Again, this film is still fantastic. It doesn't really affect anything. There are so many like really genuinely creepy and creative scenes. I really loved the scene in the confessional when there's a creepy voice behind the curtain confessing to the priest, and then it gets really, really scary talking about murdering people and shit. And then a creepy laugh and then blood. And it's really good.
So good.
It's really, really good. The other priest scene where there's just jars of blood on a table. Just wow. It's very good. It's very, all very good.
Him explaining how he did it too was just so This guy was seriously, like, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I really recommend it. I feel like I'm just saying the same things over and over again. I like the It's a Wonderful Life thing. I like the doubling up on L's.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because when I saw that, I was like, that's not how you spell wonderful.
Yeah. That's how the Gemini Killer spells wonderful, though.
Yes.
Yeah. And those giant scissors.
With the springs.
Giant springy
grandma
murderous
saved the day.
Scissors. That scene with the nurse and the giant scissors
mm-hmm.
is a very beloved scene by genre fans. There's gifs of it all over the place. If you're paying attention, you will see them. Did that scene trip you up?
No.
Did it freak you out?
No.
It's pretty
should it
blunt.
Have?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think it's like the scariest scene in the movie. I kind of agree with you. It's like, I don't really think it's that scary. I think it's a great scene.
It's
I
a phenomenal
really love
scene.
That scene.
It didn't scare me.
Yeah. I thought
I was waiting for it the whole time.
Did you know it was going to happen? Are you familiar with the GIF?
I'm not familiar with the GIF, but
okay.
I mean, I knew why she was going there. I knew what was going, like, I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Just by, like, following the movie. Is that not a thing?
That whole scene with the nurse is, like, this really long scene of her going and checking. She hears the ice cracking, and she goes in that room, and that guy yells and scares the crap out of me every time. Like, I know it's
no,
coming.
No, he scared me, too.
He scared the crap out of me. And there's just a bunch of long scenes. You see, there's a cop sitting right there, so nothing bad could possibly happen. But no, then the cop gets up and walks away, and then the nurse is checking in a room. She walks off, and then the whatever, is it a statue? I don't know what it is, chasing her with scissors. And then she's
dressed
just,
in white.
She's just dead. She's just gone after
it's
that.
It's so creepy how she's just, like, walking out slowly, and he just, like, is fast walking.
Yeah. Terrifying.
Again, though, you don't see anything, but your brain, like, plays the Texas Chainsaw trick on you, and you
it
think
does.
That you do.
It does. I'm also, like, a big fan of the scene where George C. Scott goes to see the head priest guy. I don't know what he is. Cardinal. I don't know what he is. He goes to visit him, and there's this, like, weird haunted house scene where you see papers kind of flying up behind you in, like, the corner of your eye, and then he's going, and there's, like, a creepy statue with a creepy smile on, and the lights are flickering, and I just love that scene so much. It's so small. Like, it's just little things, but it's really beautifully done, and it really creeps me out. Creepy, creepy, creepy. I think I wrote creepy, creepy, creepy shadows, creepy whispers. There's lots of whispering,
creepy
doors.
Creepy, creepy.
Creepy statue, creepy lights.
Creepy squared.
Creepy cubed.
Creepy cubed, even.
Creepy cubed. So the Gemini Killer was loosely based off of the Zodiac Killer.
Sure.
And this was also Jeffrey Dahmer's favorite film. He used to say that he would watch it before he would go kill people. Because it got him in the mood.
That's so creepy.
So if that doesn't scare the crap out of you, I don't know what will. Just fucking picture Jeffrey Dahmer fucking watching this
being
movie
like,
and like,
yeah,
fuck.
I didn't think about Jeffrey Dahmer when I was watching this movie, but when the guy was describing like the whole murder thing, like all of his murders, I was like thinking like, this is like really descriptive, like. Does this, like, put, like, ideas in people's minds? So now that I know that, I have my answer.
I guess. I mean, even if it didn't put ideas in his head, it got him all fucking
motivated.
Ramped up.
Yeah.
It's fucking creepy. I hate that. I hate hearing shit like that.
Too real for you, Amy?
Fuck. Yeah, it does. It makes it a little bit trickier to enjoy knowing shit like that, but.
Oof. It's interesting. So,
the novel is called Legion, and William Blatty wanted to name the movie Legion but they didn't want to let him do that. They wanted to always name it Exorcist 3. And he hated Exorcist 2 with a passion, so he didn't want to call it Exorcist 3 because he thought no one would, in their right mind, would want to go see it because Exorcist 2 was so terrible. So that's a bummer. Apparently he, you know, that he wanted to leave out the Exorcist scene, and he had a bunch of other scenes he wanted to include, which apparently had been lost since. And so his film, the one he wanted to make, this is not quite what he was hoping for. I would love to see some of the scenes that he filmed that have been lost. I know there is a director's cut of this film that's on Blu-ray.
I wonder if Scream Factory has one.
There is a thing, but there are still scenes that he filmed that are not in that because they were quote unquote lost, unfortunately.
I would totally buy Scream Factory's version of this. I bet it's sick.
So into it. Yeah. I'd love to get the Blu-ray of this and check out the director's version. If you guys haven't seen this, it's really worth your time. It's really worth a watch. It's a little longer of a movie than I typically like, but it's really well done. It's really exciting and fun to watch, and I recommend it wholeheartedly. Super creepy without being gory. It's something you could watch with your grandma if your grandma likes horror movies. Like, I could watch this movie with your grandma.
Are you kidding?
I would 100% watch this movie with my grandma.
Are you crazy?
Yeah. I might be speaking personally, but like, this is the kind of horror movie.
I would never watch this movie with my grandma.
My grandma likes scary movies, but she doesn't like gory movies.
My grandma likes the sound of music. So she would not enjoy this movie.
Okay. It might be good to watch with a family member who likes scary thrillers but doesn't like horror movies necessarily. Because it definitely has horror aspects.
I'm imagining my grandma watching this movie and I can't handle it.
Well, I'm just talking about my grandma, okay?
I know.
It's a movie I could watch with my grandma. Maybe not your grandma.
Twitter poll. Would you watch this with your grandma?
With your grandma.
Yay or nay?
I'm gonna vote yay on that.
Okay.
I would watch my
grandma. We're starting out with a 50-50. Okay. I'm a nay. Amy's a yay.
What are you? Let us know.
Let us know.
Comments. Comment down below.
Oh, good grief.
Oh man. So I'm really glad you liked it. I'm really excited.
I did.
That you liked it.
Probably immediately going to buy the Scream Factory version of this.
I'm stoked. I love it when I have you watch a movie and you like it.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised based on it being called Exorcist 3. Like, he was right to not want it to be called that because
yeah,
I have a hard time with sequels in general. So, like, I feel like I have to be in the right frame of mind for them. I have to like go into it being like, this probably isn't going to be that great. And then sometimes I'm pleasantly surprised, like this movie.
I think you could watch this though without seeing The Exorcist.
Oh, 100%.
Like it's the same universe, but they're not completely intertwined. You can totally enjoy them both separately.
You might not have that oh shit moment when you see that it's like the father from the first one, but
yeah, but you're still going to be able to understand most
of
it. There's like a couple things you're not going to understand, but I would think you could still enjoy it.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. So for our next segment, we're doing something a little different this week. We have a newest segment, Carly. And what's our newest segment called?
Random Reddit Questions.
Random Reddit Questions.
Of the week. That's the
song I just made of the week. So every once in a while, we have trouble coming up with social media questions, and this was one of those weeks. And I was like, let's just come up with a new segment, and every once in a while, just do something different. We don't always have to do the same freaking segment. So, I came up with random Reddit questions today, which is not a creative segment, I admit, but it's better than nothing. So here's what we're going to do. I went in Ask Reddit and I searched for horror and then I just grabbed a bunch of questions that had to do with horror and we're just going to answer them. No one asked us these questions. We're just grabbing them from Reddit and answering them ourselves.
Love it.
So that's what we're doing. We can do as many of these as we want, Carly. We don't have to do all of them. Why don't you pick one and read it? Take your time.
What's worse than running upstairs in a horror movie?
What is worse than running upstairs in a horror movie? It's a good question. I'm going to say getting murdered.
Okay, I see where you went with that. I'm going to say when, like, someone's running down the road and a creepy truck approaches and they, like, try to get help from said creepy truck when they're, like, in an isolated area.
That's a good one.
Because you're like, come on. Nine times out of ten, it's the killer.
It's always the killer.
Are you going to take that one chance?
Or someone related to the killer. It's the killer's cousin.
Get in the car. I'll take you to safety.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm going to take you to be murdered.
Yours was better than mine. Here's my question. What horror movie was unexpectedly amazing?
Exorcist 3. I'll try to think of a better one.
There isn't really one. I mean,
amazing is such a strong word.
Amazing is a strong word. How about we just say what horror movie was unexpectedly
better watch
good?
Out.
Okay. All right. I can dig it. I want to say, and I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to say Unfriended. I was unexpectedly
You were
entertained by that film.
I like it.
I enjoyed that film. It's not necessarily a good film, but it's very enjoyable. You want to do a couple more?
Sure. Okay. What horror movie really messed with you at bedtime for days after watching it? We don't even have to say days. We could just say maybe just like that creeped you out. Like, because I don't think I've been affected by a movie for days.
Yeah. There's one that like, okay, I have a one. And it's called A Tale of Two Sisters.
Oh, we were going to do that once and then we didn't because it wasn't streaming anymore.
It's an Asian horror film. I don't know what country, so I'm just going to say Asian horror film. And there is a scene where the girl is sleeping, and I don't want to ruin anything, but there is an entity in the room that crawls on top of the girl, and something very disturbing happens. And that's a fact that has affected me previously. It's one of those things where you wake up in the middle of the night and you just kind of think about it. And you're like, I'm gonna have to like not go back to sleep right now and watch something funny for a little bit. That's kind of my experience with that part of the movie. How about you?
Let's see. Obviously, when I was little and saw The Town That Dreaded Sundown, we all remember, I remember when me and my friend Gina were like, I don't want to get out of bed.
We all remember when you were hanging out with Gina, as you'll all remember. That sleepover we all went to. Sorry, continue.
I'm trying to think of...
I love Gina. How's Gina doing?
Great.
Just kidding, I don't know
Gina. Maybe The Babadook.
Okay.
Like, if I saw like a shadow or something, I feel like I just like would be like, oh my God, is that like a person? Then I'd be like, and then I'd like open my eyes really big and be like, no. And then I'd be like, it's fine. I can go to bed.
It's not a person. It's the Babadook.
It's the Babadook. It's a ghost.
All right. One more. What non-horror movie scared the living shit out of you as a child?
The Witches. Do you remember that movie with Angelica Houston?
Yeah. Yep.
I still can just imagine. I wonder if there's a gif of that little boy turning into a mouse. So disturbing. Even thinking back to it, and this place that I really like to go here called Creature Features has this like face of Angelica Houston, but as the witch, and it is just so frightening.
Oh.
Next time I'm there, I'll take a picture of it and post
it. She was very creepy in that movie.
Yeah, that movie creeped me out as a kid, but like in an enjoyable way. Like I kept wanting to watch it, even though it was scary to me.
Mm. I got you. I have a couple. There was one I don't really remember very strongly, but there was this Alice in Wonderland live action film.
Oh my God. I hope we're talking about the same thing. With the Jabberwocky?
I don't remember. I don't remember it very well, but it did scare the crap out of me.
I'm going to send you something on IMDb.
It was like a live action.
With Ringo Starr?
Alice in Wonderland. I don't remember hardly anything about it. I just remember she could go to and from Wonderland through her room somehow. I don't really remember it very well. But that used to freak me out. And then I was also very afraid of, the commercials for the film The Mask when I was younger. Now, once I saw the movie, I was totally fine. But before I saw the film, like the commercials would freak me out. Jim Carrey in that fucking mask.
He was a very weird looking fellow in that mask.
Okay, I'm looking at the Alice in Wonderland thing you're sending me.
With Carol Channing as the red, or no, she was the white queen.
I'm going to flip through some of these images. This looks kind of familiar, but I don't know. It doesn't look as dark and ominous as I...
The Jabberwocky was scary.
No, I don't think this was it.
Dang it.
I think it might have been Through the Looking Glass.
Probably. I loved this movie so much. I think I found it one time, maybe on Amazon, and I like watched it for days. I was so excited. It's not as good as I remember it being, but I remember I tried to like videotape it, like record it on VHS while it was on, but my dad like only got a little bit of it. He didn't get the whole thing, so I only had like the last half of the special. I still watched it a lot, though.
You know, there was a lot of movies as a kid that scared. I was very afraid of like everything as a kid. But those are the ones that stick out. And honestly, I don't really remember the Alice in Wonderland thing a lot. I just remember like my grandma would always put it on when I went to visit and she'd like leave me alone in the room and I'd be like, why am I watching this? I don't even want to watch this.
That's awesome.
Just more like, I don't want to entertain you. Here's a child's movie I have.
And exactly.
I'd be like, why am I watching this scary movie? All right. Is there anything you want to talk about before we close out?
No, I don't think I did anything or saw anything. No, okay. I'm good.
All right.
I'm good. All right.
So we, as you all might know, because I've mentioned it a few times already, we have Listener Request Month, which is starting next week. How very exciting.
Woo!
Woo-hoo-hoo! We love Listener Request Month here because we don't have to plan our episodes.
It's true.
And you guys do it for us, and we get to watch a bunch of movies that we haven't necessarily watched before. Are we still accepting requests, Carly? I think we can technically accept one or two more requests.
Sure.
Okay. If you guys want to send us a request.
No guarantees, but we'll see how it goes.
No guarantees, but we might still have some space. You can call us at 323-657-3910 and leave us a voicemail with the film you'd like us to watch. It does not have to be streaming. It just has to be something we can get our paws on. You could also email us finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you want us to watch. It doesn't have to be horror. It doesn't have to be streaming. It just has to be something we can watch.
Yeah.
It's really it. It's our month for you. We're kicking it off next week. We're going to start off with Sam S. and Elizabeth, who both requested films of the same title, but are different films, so we're going to pair them together. Sam S. requested Ravenous, the new 2017 release that's available on Netflix. And Elizabeth requested Ravenous from 1999, which is rentable on Amazon and Google Play and Vudu and all those places. Looks like it's like $2.99 most places. So if you're interested in checking those out ahead of time, feel free to do so. I'm stoked to watch both of them.
Same.
So we're gonna start there.
Yeah.
We have quite a few other requests. We just haven't put them in a category yet to choose. And some people gave us multiple movies and we haven't decided which one we're going to watch yet. So we'll get in on that. Next week, we'll let you know what's going on. For the following week, we're going to just kind of pick it as we go.
Exactly.
But again, we can still take one or two more requests. So if you have something you want us to watch, just give us a call or email us.
Thank you.
All right. I think that's it, man.
I think so, too.
I feel so subdued today. I don't feel like I was very,
it's energetic. Only because we had one really great movie to talk about.
Yeah, Nails is really kind of a bummer. I was kind of hoping I could at least get, like, mad.
Yeah, no, it wasn't even, like, bad entertaining. It was just, like, not good.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, a passionate anger.
Right, it wasn't Descent 2 anger.
No, I was just, like, upset. Like, I wasn't angry. I was just, like, disappointed.
Yeah.
Not even disappointed because I had no expectations. Just like, ugh.
Totally.
Just like, ugh. I had to stop that movie like 6 times and like do something else because I was so...
I powered through it.
Ugh.
All right.
All right. Well, next week will be very Ravenous with both Ravenouses.
Yeah.
All the Ravenous films.
Yeah.
Okay. Until next week, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye. Bye.
Final Girls Horrorcast is sponsored by Elizabeth, Mikey H, Nick B, Black Cat, Miss Tab, and the OT Gourmet Geek. We are available to stream on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at Final Girls HC, and Instagram and Facebook, just search for Final Girls Horrorcast. We also invite you to join our Final Girls discussion group on Facebook. You can find the link on our homepage.